Welcome back to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. When we're faced with a tough decision, we often frame it as a question of what we should do. Should I take that medicine? How should I reduce my carbon footprint? Those aren't questions that science can answer. Science can tell you how safe or effective a medicine has been for other people, but deciding what's best, what should be, that involves values. And mixing science and values, or even finding the line between the two, can be fraught. Still, that's exactly what one exhibit at Boston's Museum of Science is asking visitors to do. It's called Provocative Questions, and joining me now to talk about it is Christine Reach. She's Vice President of Exhibit Development and Conservation at the Museum of Science. Full disclosure, the Museum of Science is a supporter of WGBH Radio. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, this exhibit, Provocative Questions, where did the idea for that actually come from?
Wonderful question. It's something that we conceptualized probably about 5 years ago now. We were trying to think about all the different societal questions that we have related to science and technology and how best to address them in a museum setting. And what we wanted to do is move the expertise away from the science museum, where the science museum might be saying, this is what science tells you to do, and put more of the expertise on visitors. When we first started this type of interactive, it was hard to do. It's not something that people always feel comfortable doing. And it's also a challenge in terms of how do you generate the right kinds of conversations. And we wanted people to not only be thinking about the answers to these questions, but be discussing them with others and hearing others' perspectives and viewpoints. And so we realized we needed an entirely new framework for exhibition design than we had had before. And that's really what spurred the development of the Provocative Questions exhibition.
Well, walk us through what that experience is like. What does the exhibit look like, and what kind of questions have you been asking people?
So currently, the exhibit is a subsection of our Hall of Human Life exhibition. We thought that it would be particularly important to have an exhibit like this in a gallery that's looking at human biology, because so much of how we think about human biology touches us personally, touches our health, our life decisions, even our decisions about our social interactions with one another. So it's placed within the context of that gallery. As you walk within, there's many different ways that you can begin to investigate a question. We change out the question every 6 months to a year. It depends on what's happening in society at the time. And you're posed with a question that is one that's not just about your own personal decision-making, but a community's decision-making. So that's particularly important because that becomes a reason why we need to hear one another's perspectives, and it's not just about hearing our own opinion. So you'd be posed with a question, and then there's a space where you can hear different statements that people might state as the answer to that question and judge whether you think that statement is personal experience, social values, or scientific evidence. And then you have a moment where you can sit down at a computer table that's a two-seater and move through the investigation of that question by looking at different scientific research studies that pertain, different personal experience statements that pertain, and different social value experiences that pertain. And as you're doing that with a friend or family member, and you're discussing along the way all the different factors that go into a decision.
I'm talking with Christine Reach of the Museum of Science about their Provocative Questions exhibit. Christine, I want to talk about one set of exhibits that you have in the museum this fall. You guys made a choice to host an exhibit called Gridiron Glory that's kind of the history and science of the NFL and football. It's been touring the country. What kind of science does that exhibit present?
The exhibition itself, and we talk a lot about the technology and how it's, this is the Gridiron Glory exhibition. We talk about the history of technology in the sport, the physics of human bodies and how they move, the physics of launching a football, some really fun content that ties in between science and the sport. The exhibition was built in 2012, and so the content that's in the exhibition is relevant to what was produced at that time. That exhibition, Gridiron Glory, was produced by the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and they are responsible for the content in that exhibition. What we've done is, outside of that exhibition, really taken on this issue of CTE and also the dangers of concussions, which is a little bit separate from CTE. And so in our provocative question gallery, we are posing a societal question of, should sports with high concussion risk be banned for youth 14 years and under? We thought this is a particularly important question at this point in time, given the audience that might be attracted to come to Gridiron Glory and the emerging scientific evidence. And we don't think that the answer to this question can be found in scientific evidence alone. There's a lot of personal experience and there's a lot of social values that need to be brought to bear in thinking about the answer to this question.
That's definitely a question that fits the title, provocative question. I mean, should football be banned, is for even for, you know, one age group, for 14 and under. That really hits a nerve with a lot of people who say this is, you know, culture, this is tradition. I did it and I didn't end up with, you know, concussions or brain damage from it. So why can't my kids do it? What kinds of responses have you been getting to that question?
Well, first, I should say it doesn't ask if football should be banned, but sports with high concussion risk be banned. And there are a number of sports that have high concussion risk. But that's actually one of the personal experiences that we bring into this particular exhibit. So what we do is, we don't just present the science, but we have gathered together different kinds of personal experience statements from a broad variety of perspectives around the topic, as well as different social values. And we let people hear those personal experience statements, let them hear different scientific evidence, and let them hear different social values so that they can make a decision themselves. And it's important to know that the scientific evidence that we're bringing to the table is not just about the health effects of concussions, but we're also bringing forward some sociological studies that show some of the benefits of participation in youth sports, and how down in Australia they found out that it actually decreased risky behaviors amongst teens. And all of that different perspective needs to be brought to the table when you're making this decision. So we have not received negative comments on this particular exhibition, because I think everybody can find a place for their viewpoint to be heard. That being said, what we do find about visitors when they go through the provocative questions exhibit is that they're more likely to kind of change in their perspective from a firm yes or no to a potential maybe. And so even though people can recognize their perspective in the exhibit, we're not trying to reinforce their existing perspective, but really get them to reconsider some potential alternative viewpoints. And we've been quite successful in that. The people are beginning to question where maybe they sat before. We're also finding that after going through the exhibit, people are more likely to integrate scientific evidence into their decision than they had before. And that this framework enables them to do that not just for the question they're addressing in this particular exhibit at this time, but also in when addressing future questions that they might encounter as well.
My guest is Christine Reach of the Museum of Science. Christine, those kinds of outcomes are huge, really, to, you know, that people are coming out more willing to question their viewpoints than when they came in, that they're more likely to incorporate science into their decision making going forward. Those are things that science communicators, science educators have been working very hard for a long time to figure out, how do we do this? So what do you think the secret is? Is it just because you put it in question form instead of statement form? What is it about this exhibit that gets people to that place?
Well, we were building on research from the science education field writ large. And that was pointing to the fact that we have to let people bring their personal experience and the social values to the table. I think in science education in the past, what we did is we felt we were just the facts and nothing else. And so we would bring only the scientific evidence into the discussion. And that sometimes can further entrench people if they feel as though you're trying to point out how their viewpoint is wrong, and can lead people to feel like their personal experience and their social values are devalued. But by bringing both of those elements to the table. We think people are more likely to then pay attention to the scientific evidence and think about how it pertains to their overall viewpoint. So we think that there's really an important distinction of the exhibit. I also think that each time we present the question, we make sure it's one that really can't be answered with scientific evidence alone, that really values different viewpoints that are out there. And in fact, the team was, for this particular question, I think possibly came in thinking that there wouldn't be scientific evidence that would point to anything other than the need to possibly, or not even the need, but that scientific evidence would be more likely to say, yes, these sports should be banned. But as our research progressed, we realized some of these social outcomes for team sports in particular, some of the research around how changes in technology can change behavior, how changes in the games, the rules of the game can change behavior. And they began even themselves to be moving more towards a maybe perspective. And so I think that that's really important, is that we make sure it's not something where the answer is really easy.
I think oftentimes statements that are intended to be scientific fact can feel to people like they are a judgment or a values statement. I'm thinking of one researcher studying CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, that's associated with chronic head trauma at football and elsewhere, saying, well, you know, based on our research, there probably is no safe level of play. That's a statement of scientific basis. But as you're saying, you know, there's evidence on all sides of this. How do you think you manage to get people to separate clearly what's personal experience and what's scientific fact? Or do you?
We do. We actually, that's the whole thing that we're hoping people learn through this experience, is how to differentiate those different elements. So there's one activity called Breaking It Down, where visitors are presented with a series of statements that are an answer to this question of, you know, should sports with high concussion risk be banned for youth under 14? And visitors need to think about, well, the answer to that question, why someone's saying yes or why someone's saying no, are they providing a social value as a reason, personal experience, or scientific evidence? So it's actually providing visitors with a framework for thinking about, when an answer is given, can you assess where different people are coming from in their answer? In the exhibit, we actually, one of the interactives, visitors walk through selecting the scientific evidence that they feel best supports where they stand, the personal experience that best supports where they stand, and the social value. And so, and what we found is when they're doing that, they don't always think about what best supports where they stand, but they end up picking from each of those categories the thing that resonates with them the most. And that's a really important part of the process. They're also learning to distinguish between those three different kinds of reasons that you might have for holding a particular perspective.
Christine Reach is Vice President of Exhibit Development and Conservation at the Museum of Science. Christine, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Until next week, this is Living Lab Radio. In the meantime, you can connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab Radio is produced by WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio in Boston. It's produced by me, Elsa Partan, and Heather Goldstone is executive producer. Funding for Living Lab Radio comes from the Candida Fund, investing in transformative leaders and ideas. Theme music by Stellwagen Symphonette.